This morning, I invite you to look with me at a passage of Scripture that was part of our Bible reading this week and our congregational Be One, Make One Bible Reading Challenge. And I have to say that I've been preaching now for over 36 years, full time, and I don't think I've ever preached on this passage before, so we'll see how it goes. But it's from Numbers chapter 22, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. And I want to say before I read this that it really is okay to laugh in church during the scripture reading. So if you find something funny in this passage, don't be afraid to laugh, okay? Here we go. The Israelites marched and camped in the plains of Moab across the Jordan from Jericho. Balak, Zippor's son, saw everything that the Israelites did to the Amorites. The Moabites greatly feared the people, for they were so numerous. The Moabites were terrified of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "Now this assembly will devour everything around us as an ox eats up the grass in the field." Balak, Zippor's son, was king of Moab at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, Beor's son, at Pethor, which is by the river in the land of his people, to summon him. "A people has come out of Egypt, and they have now covered the land. They have settled next to me. Now please come and curse this people for me, because they are stronger than I am. Perhaps I'll be able to destroy them and drive them from the land, for I know that whomever you bless is blessed, and whomever you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and Midian went with the payment for divination in their hands. They came to Balaam and told him Balak's words. He said to them, "Spend the night here, and I'll bring back to you a word exactly as the Lord speaks to me." So the officials of Moab stayed with Balaam. God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Moab's king Balak, Zippor's son, sent them to me with the message, 'A people has come out of Egypt and covered the land. Now come and curse them for me. Perhaps I'll be able to fight against them and drive them out.'" God said to Balaam, "Don't go with them. Don't curse the people, because they are blessed." Then Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's officials, "Go to your land, for the Lord has refused to allow me to go with you." The officials of Moab arose. They went to Balak, and they said, "Balaam refused to come with us." Balak continued to send other officials more numerous and important than these. They came to Balaam and said to him, "This is what Balak, Zippor's son, says, 'Please let nothing hold you back from coming to me, for I'll greatly honor you, and I'll do anything you ask of me. Please come and curse this people for me.'" Balaam answered and said to Balak's servants, "If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I wouldn't be able to do anything small or great to break the command of the Lord my God. Now you must remain the night here so that I may know what else the Lord may say to me." God came to Balaam in the night and said to him, "If the men have come to summon you, arise and go with them, but you must do only what I tell you to do." So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the officials of Moab. Then God became angry because he went. So while he was riding on his donkey, accompanied by his two servants, the Lord's messenger stood in the road as his adversary. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. So the donkey turned from the road and went into the field. Balaam struck the donkey in order to turn him back onto the road. Then the Lord's messenger stood in the narrow path between vineyards with a stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the Lord's messenger, it leaned against the wall and squeezed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he continued to beat it. The Lord's messenger persisted and crossed over and stood in a narrow place where it wasn't possible to turn either right or left. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger and lay down underneath Balaam. Balaam became angry and beat the donkey with a rod. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you've beaten me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you've tormented me. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on whom you've often ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" Balaam said, "No." Then the Lord uncovered Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. Then he bowed low and worshiped. The Lord's messenger said to him, "Why have you beaten your donkey three times? I've come out here as an adversary because you took the road recklessly in front of me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it hadn't turned away from me, I would just now have killed you and let the donkey live." Balaam said to the Lord's messenger, "I've sinned because I didn't know that you were standing against me in the road. Now, if you think it's wrong, I'll go back." The Lord's messenger said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but don't say anything. Say only that which I tell you." So Balaam went with Balak's officials. This is the word of the Lord. You know, this is one of those stories that when I read it, I had to ask, is that really in the Bible? I mean, I know there have been some famous talking animals, but mostly in the movies and on television. Actually, I wanted to give you a little quiz this morning and see if you could name some of these famous talking animals. Once again, we have some notes there in your bulletin, and you'll see the pictures of them, and see if you know who these talking animals are. Can you name that first one, the one there at the top? That's an older one. Anybody know what famous talking animal that is? Francis the Talking Mule. Yes. Francis starred in 7 movies back in the 1950s. And as a kid, I watched the reruns on television. Francis had this sidekick whose name was Sterling, who was an army private, played by Donald O'Connor. And they got into some hilarious situations. And the funniest thing was that Francis was always smarter than the human characters in those movies. And then a bit later on, there was this other talking animal, the next picture. Can you name that one? Mr. Ed. Yes, Mr. Ed. He ran on television for 6 seasons back in the 60s. And Mr. Ed was always getting his owner, Wilbur, in trouble because he never talked to anyone else but Wilbur Post. Mr. Ed would make phone calls, he would leave his stable and cause mischief, and of course, Wilbur always got the blame. And then there's this next character, one that's kind of looking over the shoulder of that green ogre. Does anybody know who that character is? Donkey, right? Some of you have seen the movie Shrek, and the green ogre is Shrek. You know, Donkey is such a fast talker. His voice character was Eddie Murphy. And Donkey never stopped talking. In fact, Shrek would get so annoyed with him that he tried to leave him behind, but Donkey would never leave his side. And he helped the ogre to rescue his damsel in distress, the Princess Fiona. Remember that? And then there's one more, and most of us would recognize this one. That's Eeyore, right? The character from Winnie the Pooh books. He's pessimistic and gloomy and depressed, and an old gray stuffed donkey who lives in the 100-acre woods with Winnie the Pooh and his friends. You know, there are a lot of talking animals in our culture. But across the centuries, people of faith have really, really struggled to understand why this story about this talking donkey is in the Bible. You know, the serious student of the Bible will remember that there is only one other time in the entire Bible when an animal speaks. Perhaps you remember it early in the book of Genesis, when Eve is in the garden, a serpent speaks to her. Now, this story in Genesis is a sort of parable about the whole human condition, where a serpent is a symbol for the temptation that can creep into our lives and destroy us. But the story of Balaam, on the other hand, is a historical account about a non-Israelite named Balaam who lived in the 13th century before Christ in the tiny little land of Moab. And it seems strange that the one time in history when God would make an animal talk would be on this occasion, in the story of this obscure man who's riding a donkey on a narrow path. And it's particularly strange how Balaam responds when the donkey speaks. I mean, as we read this story, the funny thing is that Balaam replies to this donkey as if it's not unusual at all that they're having conversation together. The donkey has tried three times to avoid an angel that he sees in the path, an angel that Balaam can't see. And after Balaam strikes the donkey three times, the donkey turns and says to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you're beating me like this?" And Balaam says to the donkey, "I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you now." And the donkey replies, "Haven't I been good to you all these years? Why are you treating me this way?" Balaam acts as if he's had conversations with his donkey all the time. Now, how strange is that? Just think about the pets you might have at home. Any pet owners here? Do you have conversations with your animals? You do. Yes, we all do, right? We talk to animals, all sorts of animals, dogs and cats, maybe horses and donkeys, and they can communicate back to us their desires and their feelings. So in this regard, what's happening in this story may be nothing really all that different from what you experience in life. What throws us off is that this story literally says the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and it spoke. However those sounds were that came out of this donkey's mouth, not in English, but probably in Moabite or whatever language they spoke, this story has some important messages for us. In fact, some key biblical themes that we see in other parts of Scripture. The story begins with the king of Moab named Balak wanting to pronounce a curse on the people of Israel because he's afraid of them. They've been journeying through the wilderness after they had spent many years in Egypt as slaves, and now they are at that point where they're about to enter the promised land. But to get there, they have to cross through Moab. And the king Balak is concerned about this. And rather than welcoming them and seeking to befriend them, he decides to put a curse on them, hoping that they'll go away. And so he summons Balaam, who has this supernatural insight, and asks him to pronounce these curses. But Balaam has higher principles than Balak. And he answers that he could only do what God told him to do. And God was not calling for curses on God's people, of course. But Balak kept pressing for Balaam to come. And finally, Balaam got a message from God that he could go to the king of Moab, but he could only say what God told him to say. So he set off on his donkey. Now it seems that Balaam's heart is not in the right place. And this comes out later in the story that Balaam actually doesn't like the people of Israel any more than King Balak does. So God sends an angel to stop Balaam short, and the donkey sees the angel standing on the path, but of course Balaam doesn't notice the angel. And then finally we have this conversation. So what are we to make of this story? Well, there are several key biblical truths, as I said before. And the first one is this. The story shows us that God is persistent. God is persistent. God speaks persistently in every possible way. God has already spoken to Balaam in visions and dreams, and then God sent an angel, and when Balaam didn't see the angel, God used a donkey to talk to him. And the message is that if God can communicate through a donkey, God can use all sorts of ways to speak to you and to me. We notice here how persistent God is. When Balaam doesn't get the message, the angel keeps moving around on the path, causing multiple reactions from the donkey, until finally Balaam opens his eyes and sees God's messenger. And in the same way, God will persistently communicate God's message to people throughout the ages, and including you and me. The writer of Psalm 139 in the Bible is so confident of God's persistent communication to us that he even declares in Psalm 139 verse 7, "Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence?" And of course we know that there is nowhere we can go to escape the presence of God, who persistently seeks to communicate to you and me. As we saw last week, one of the primary ways that God speaks to us is through the Holy Scriptures. And as we engage in opening God's Word from day to day, God speaks into our lives. The psalmist in 119 says, "Your word is a lamp before my feet and a light before my path." And of course, the greatest revelation of God to us is when God becomes one of us in Jesus Christ. In the New Testament letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul celebrates God's revelation in Jesus Christ. He writes, "God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God uses all sorts of ways to get our attention. And often, God communicates to us through other people. In Matthew 25, there are some powerful parables of Jesus. And perhaps the most familiar is the one that describes the scene on that day when all the nations will be gathered before the throne of Christ. And the parable continues that the Lord Jesus will separate the nations to his right and to his left, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who will receive good things. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And those on the right will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked? When did we see you sick or in prison? And then the king will reply to them, I assure you that when you have done it to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you've done it for me. God speaks persistently. And often God is speaking to us through those who in this world get pushed away and forgotten. Now the truth of the matter is, and this is the second lesson from this story, that like Balaam, we do not always listen so well. One of the most striking features in this story of Balaam is that God's angel is standing there with a sword in hand in the path right in front of him. And Balaam is so focused on how inconvenient it is that his donkey has laid down. The donkey won't go on the path he wants it to go on, and he's so enraged he can't even see the angel right in front of him. And the message for us is, don't wait till your donkey starts talking to start paying attention to God. In our Bible reading this past Thursday, we saw another character who was so focused on his own agenda, so caught up in his own rage, that he was not listening to the voice of God. We read in the book of Acts about a man named Saul, who was standing by when Stephen was stoned to death. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And Acts tells us that Saul was so filled with vengeance against Christians that he wreaked havoc against the church. So focused that he could not see the truth of the Lord Jesus. And it took an experience even more dramatic than a talking donkey, I think, to get Saul's attention. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, why are you harassing me? Like Balaam, like Saul, we can get so caught up in our own frustration, our own agenda, that God is speaking, but we're not listening. This story calls us to open our eyes, to open our hearts to how God is at work, because God is speaking persistently in every possible way to us. And a third message from this story is that when we are receptive, God can work through us in marvelous ways. Just think of that. You know, Balaam certainly was not perfect. And yet God worked through him to bring a great blessing upon the people of Israel. And even more astonishing, God spoke through a donkey, a key instrument in God's work. And if God can use a donkey, repeat this to yourself throughout the week this week. If God can use a donkey, then God can use me. You know, as we go through the scriptures, we find some other donkeys that play some starring roles in the biblical stories. There was a donkey that brought the expectant Mary to Bethlehem. And then there's a donkey that serves as kind of an emergency rescue vehicle in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then it was a donkey upon which Jesus rode when he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So the Bible proclaims that through the lowly, through the humble, God makes an impact on the world. You and I may be quite ordinary, but as we're receptive to the Word of God, we can be part of God's work. And we can have an influence for God on the people around us. As I was looking for a memory verse for this week, I didn't choose something from the story of Balaam's donkey. Instead, I chose a verse from our reading this past Friday, a word from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's read this verse together and claim it as our own. You show that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us. You weren't written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You weren't written on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. I'm going to ask if our worship team can come and prepare to lead us in that next song. And as they do, think about the words of Paul. You are a letter. Perhaps like some of you, over the years, I've been asked to write a number of letters of reference for people. Some of them are students seeking admission to college or applying for scholarships. Some of them are people who are looking for employment and asking for a good word from me. Some letters of reference are to pastors of churches where people have moved to a new community and recommending them for a particular congregation. You know, a letter of reference is an important way of lifting somebody up and perhaps opening the door for them to new opportunities. And what Paul is saying to us here is that you and I, we are letters of reference. That people see in us something that points them to the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, God will bring many people into your life. Some of them will be people that you know very, very well. And others will be just acquaintances or maybe even strangers. I believe that God brings all the people God brings to us for a purpose. God speaks to us through them in every encounter. My prayer is that you'll be receptive to God's presence. Don't wait for your donkey to speak. For when we're receptive, God can use us in ways that we cannot yet now imagine. God can use us. Just ask Balaam. Better yet, just ask his donkey. Amen.